A reading from the Book of Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. For the Lord will not reject forever. Although he causes grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. If indeed, when we have taken it off, we will not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan under our burden, because we wish not to be unclothed, but to be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel. Alleluia, alleluia. It is the will of him who sent me, says the Lord, that I should lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We were originally going to watch a video of Bishop Joe preaching this morning on Low Sunday. Traditionally, Low Sunday refers to church attendance, to be fair. Mind you, we have a lovely gathering today and probably online. It's traditionally, presumably, people exhausted after their religious energy of Easter that they can't make it to worship on the Sunday after Easter. And of course, as we know, today really is a low Sunday as we mourn the death of Prince Philip and pray for the Queen and the royal family. But as with technology, these things happen, so I have adapted Bishop Joe's sermon for us verbally. I have taken some of it and woven around it. So Bishop Joe says this as she reflects on low Sunday. But what if Low Sunday is more than just low attendance? What if there's disappointment with Easter? Last week at Easter, we proclaimed Christ is risen, triumph over sin and death. Yet today, the graves of those we love so dearly are still occupied. And the news of the past week hardly suggests sin and brokenness and death has been eradicated from our world. But our own hearts and homes and workplaces tell us that abundant evidence that sin, sorrow and brokenness has hardly been loosened in its grip since last Sunday. For any one of us, perhaps especially in COVID times, there is a huge gap between the Easter proclamation of joy and the felt reality of grief and guilt and hopelessness. It's a gap that threatens our fragile faith sometimes, doesn't it? In our gospel reading today, Thomas is stuck in that gap. He wasn't there when the risen Jesus appeared to the other disciples. He missed out. He was off somewhere on his own when Jesus showed up in that locked room. Even though he's heard Jesus is alive, he's just not buying it. And I reflect on that part there, because what we're going to see here is that the old creation story in Genesis kicks off a blame. Here we are. I'm so sorry. Yes. Oh yeah. I'm reading the wrong page. I am going on holiday next Friday. So, here we are, the gospel reading today. He's stuck in that gap, isn't he? He's not there when Jesus appears. He's not buying it. He's not having it. So, disappointed, heartbroken by the death of his Lord, Thomas now just wants to get on with his life. We may be dubbing him Thomas, Doubting Thomas, but notice what John calls him three times. In the reading, he calls him Thomas the twin, even though There's no evidence of a twin. We don't hear any mention about him. But in John's Gospel, there are no words that are accidental. And Bishop Joe goes on and wonders if his point that Thomas is a twin could be that Thomas is in fact our twin. That embedded within the story of Jesus' resurrection, our twin of doubt is in there. As our identical sibling, he's articulating our disappointment and doubt that anything has changed or could change absolutely and forever with Jesus' death on the cross. The point at which Thomas finally comes to believe is when Jesus urges him, "Come on, put your hand in my side." And the instant Thomas touches the raw wound, he blurts out, "My Lord and my God." And that moment is so vivid. But listen to what Jesus says next. "Because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen me and have come to believe." Can you hear some impatience in Jesus' voice, as though he was saying to Thomas and all subsequent doubters, ourselves included sometimes, "Look, I will not continue to give you evidence all the time. There's a better way to learn to believe than sticking your hand in my side. There's a better way to know the truth of the resurrection." Jesus had already shown his disciples that better way when he breathed into them the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed the Spirit into them, just as God once breathed life into Adam's nostrils at the beginning. So this is a second creation story. Along with the words, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whenever you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them." Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is granting humans a power that previously belonged to God alone. The power to unlock that grip of death that our sins and our brokenness has on our souls, on that inner life that longs to be whole and pure and happy. The power to forgive sins is the mark of a new creation, of a profoundly changed life, not just for this small group of disciples then, but potentially for humankind altogether. And now I would like to reflect on where Bishop Joe has taken us. So we go back to the old creation story in Genesis, where it kicks off the human blame and shame game. Man against woman, woman against the snake, all turned away from God, and then man against man, woman against woman, everyone against everyone in the end. But now Jesus is coming to the frightened disciples, a community who are about to fall apart because they've lost their anchor in their master Jesus. And he breathes them into a spirit that doesn't blame or shame, but who imparts a spirit of forgiveness and freedom, a spirit of God that works through us for peace and wholeness, even in the darker times of betrayal and bereavement. Jesus assures us, "As the Father sent me, so I send you. Whenever you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven." And this forgiveness of ourselves and each other is the resurrection story. New life begins as we come to God and lay all our darker sides of ourselves and the world at the foot of that cross on Good Friday and walk away with the love and forgiveness of the cross on our hearts that can outpour into our lives. We leave the darkness behind there with the cross, and we take the hope of Easter out into the world from it. The hope for peace and harmony for our lives, for the lives of the world, of relationships, stewardship of the planet, everyone working together for good in spirit and action. And never before do we need all those qualities of love than we do now during this pandemic, don't we? And actually during this week of mourning, it evokes that sense of feebleness within us, fragility. And as we do mourn the death of Prince Philip, as we mourn all those on our hearts who have died, we can draw on that Easter resurrection hope and the promise for strength that we will be led through the pre-Easter wilderness and out into the light of Easter hope by a spirit of love and good that wants only that, love and goodness for our lives and the lives of our world. So how does it happen? Forgiveness. Restorative justice. Justice, fairness that restores to wholeness. Practicing forgiveness is like any spiritual practice. It's something we have to work at, it's tough, and sometimes we don't want to do it. But the rewards of peace, even in stormy times, is so worth it. Resurrection is new life and new beginnings that can start any time in our lives when we say so. It's a language of heart. When we say it does, it does. Resurrection, hope and healing begins when we say it does in our hearts. And then it starts manifesting in little ways in our lives. Try it if you haven't already. Bishop Joe continues. Even then, with practice, let's not pretend it's easy, because brokenness leaves behind a depth of pain and wrongdoing. Forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness of ourselves is even harder sometimes. We need the Holy Spirit within us, giving us strength to go all the way down, exposing our wounds and our brokenness to Jesus Christ, to the place where the healing at depth is found. Bringing us to the point where we invite Jesus to lay a healing finger on our areas of great vulnerability. And it does take work, and it takes help sometimes. It's rarely instantaneous. One step at a time we tread, but discovering a capacity to heal far beyond what we alone could ever manage or imagine. Shalom, says Jesus to his disciples. Receive the Holy Spirit, the spirit of shalom, of wholeness and peace. That spirit will free us. It will free us from fear that there is no end to the healing that we can receive when we reach out. But as Nelson Mandela reminded us, it's a long walk to freedom through forgiveness. But we start one step at a time. So, my friends, Easter resurrection is about justice on many levels, healing wounds of hurt, promise of new life. So as we do enter this time of sadness for the nation, for many around the world, as we honour a life lived well, we hold the Queen and her family on our hearts. We hold all who are experiencing grief and loss on our hearts. And we grasp onto that hope of healing, forgiveness, and opportunity to build new Easter bridges, to work towards a new creation built on foundations of Jesus's promise that the power of the Holy Spirit can heal. It can forgive, and it can restore. There can be a new creation of hope and love. We can pray into that, and we can long for that, and we can make it happen because we believe it will. We pray in belief. and believing will find life in hope, in death as there is in life. Amen.